Hello, this is Robert Richards, and you're listening to The Waterhole, our weekly broadcast, which is now available on iTunes and all major podcast platforms. You can also watch the weekly video broadcast on our YouTube channel, links in the description. I pray this has been a blessing to you, and if you have enjoyed this message, please share this with a friend. God bless you, and remember, no matter where you are and what you've done, Jesus loves you. Well, praise God. Y'all glad to be in church this morning? Yes. Well, get your Bibles out. Woo! And if you would, just kind of throw it open there. Praise the Lord forevermore. Now, before we get into the message this morning, there's a couple of things I want to share with you. That's how a guitar falls off a stand, first of all. Now, I'm really kind of nervous because I'm speaking totally. Y'all will laugh at me because I'm speaking on something that I have no idea of because I don't do it. But anyway, this is what I understand, okay? How many of y'all have a Facebook page? Lift your hands. So we've got like the majority of the church here. Okay. So Living Waters Church Utopia is our Facebook page. And if you may already be a friend on there, or you may not have ever heard that till this morning, but Living Waters Church Utopia is our Facebook page. On the Facebook page, my daughter has posted a link that is giving a shout out about that we're now on iTunes. You can get all the messages on iTunes. You can, you can always go to the website and watch the video, but if you're on iTunes working off your phone or SoundCloud, or any other major podcast network, now the Waterhole broadcast is on there. So what I'm asking you to do, which is kind of bad, I've never asked you to do anything in life that I've never done. But I'm asking this morning for you to do something I've never done because I've never been on Facebook before. The way I understand it, you can go onto your Facebook, if you go to Living Waters Church, or like I said, if you're already a friend, then when the little, whatever you call it, blip, whatever that thing is that says it's about the Waterhole, you can share that with your friends, okay? Now, you know, it's the multiplication effect here. If you share it with your friends, and then one of them shares it with their friends, and this thing keeps going, this is how we're trying to get the word out, that you can go into iTunes, to SoundCloud, to any of the podcast networks and listen to the message. Because I just am believing every time this message I'm going to preach today, I'm believing it's touching somebody's heart. And I believe that somebody will listen to this message, maybe even a year from now, and it will touch their heart and will bless them and help them. Because I know the Word of God is it's eternal. It's not just temporal. And I get things from people all the time saying, oh, I listened to this message. Do you remember the message you preached on, in 19? And I'm like, what? I don't even remember what I preached last week, much less, 10 years ago. Because we still have all those recordings and everything's out there. So my point is I'm asking you to help me to get this out. Now that I've told you this, everybody that's listening and all of y'all in here, I kind of got you on the hook. Because I get to see who shares it. So now I'll know if you're doing what Pastor says. So anyway, if you could do that for me, I'd really appreciate it. The thing about it is, you have to understand something about the kingdom of God. I want to encourage you about this. The kingdom of God is an amazing thing. The kingdom of God, you get credit to your account for every time you broadcast the gospel. Do you know that? Do you know that? There's rewards in heaven. I don't know if you know this, but there is. It's not this, everybody goes to heaven, walks through the door, gets a white robe, worships Jesus for 1,000 years, and we all look the same. We're just all plain white, blend in. Am I scaring y'all? Some of y'all are looking at me strange. When you get to heaven, the Bible talks about that there's rewards. Blessed are the feet of those that have that share the gospel, that preach the good news, right? It talks about crowns. It talks about rewards. It talks about mansions. All I'm saying to you is when you're going to get to heaven, the things that you do, the little things you do, you're going to be amazed at what they do. So let's just say, for instance, you shared your Facebook page. You shared this blip about the waterhole broadcast. It went out there and somebody else listened to it. And then they had a friend they shared it with, and that friend listened to it and got saved. And then you get to heaven, and this person walks up and says, "Thank you so much for sharing that." And you're like, "Who are you? I've never seen you before in my life." Well, they don't know that the trickle effect, it all came back to your account. The dollar a day you give to the waterhole, the orphans you rescue, the 50 cents you send in, the whatever you send in. Listen, folks, Jesus takes account of everything. And you could be the world's greatest evangelist and never have left your home in today's society by simply on the internet, by ministering to people. Already, a person in Virginia that I don't know who they are, don't recognize their name, in Virginia, has already taken and shared the Facebook deal. There's a person in Virginia that's already downloaded like 22 messages off the broadcast. I don't know this person. All I'm saying is that the gospel, Jesus will make the gospel keep rolling forward, but he needs you to make it happen. And in this day and age, it's the click of a button. And so, listen, go ahead and bless yourself. Add another mansion on another room on your mansion. Just get somebody else saved. Do it by faith. Bless. Send out. Friends. Just believe God that the word's going to keep going forward and it's going to touch somebody. Amen? Amen. So I got a whole church full of giant evangelists this morning in here. And I've been preaching this message. I'm going to review it just a little bit and then get on with it. But I've been preaching this message that I call the 3:16 principle. And it's scriptures that God gave me out of different books of the Bible, but they're all chapter 3, verse 16, and so I'm just calling it the 3:16 principle. And the first one we looked at, you know, is so familiar, John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen? And the principle that's here, because I'm talking about having fellowship with God. I'm talking about sitting down at the table with God and eating and fellowshipping with God. We don't, you know, we talk about prayer. We talk about going to church. We talk about reading our Bibles. We talk about all this, but all of this actually is nothing but fellowship. And all throughout the scriptures, God loves to eat. He loves to throw a big banquet. He loves to throw a barbecue. First thing we do when we get to heaven, we're sitting out at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Come on. Right? I like this. I like barbecue. God's into barbecue. Everything he barbecued. Put it on the fire. Roast it. Right? God is a big barbecuer. He is the best barbecuer. And when we get to heaven, the first thing that we do is all sit down like a giant family at a table called the marriage supper of the Lord, and we sit down and we have fellowship. Now, if you have family members and if they're off and they all come together, whether it's Christmas or Thanksgiving, whatever, what do? We get a big, we all get together. So-and-so's in town. Come on, we're all going to come. That's how it is. Well, I want you to know something. God wants to fellowship with you every day just like that. He wants you to come and sit down personally at his table and you and him fellowship, break bread, talk. We can call it prayer if you want to call it prayer. You can call it whatever you want to, but he wants to sit down. It's not a formal thing. It's not like you are standing before a judge having to give, you know, your declaration of what's going on. It's not some kind of a intense scrutiny. What it is fellowship. It's an intimate time for you to just sit down and talk to the Lord. Now, I'm going to take a little rabbit trail here just a second, and I'll get back on track in a minute. But I want you to know, folks, listen to me. God is doing something. I'm saying this again. Listen to me. God is doing something right now. I've been saved for 30 plus years. I've been pastoring for 21 years. I have watched what God does. I understand he's doing something right now. What he is doing is so simple. He wants to talk to you. I've never seen it like this before. I've never seen people getting free through our Freedom Prayer Program and getting free to hear the voice of God and God speaking to them directly. I think there's nothing greater, nothing simpler, nothing more victorious than to know that you were at your house hearing from God. Because if you hear the voice of God, it changes your life. I can tell you what the Word of God says, but unless that comes into you and it becomes a revelation to you and it's live to you and it's as if He spoke it, man, that changes your life. Are y'all with me? And God right now is wanting to talk to you more than I've ever seen. I don't know that it's just a season that the Spirit of God is moving. And I'm telling you, He wants to knock on the door of your heart and He wants to sit down and talk to you. Deep fellowship, intimate fellowship. Oh, it's not about finding out when the world's going to end or when Jesus is coming back. I wish it was right now. I wish I right when I was sitting here, when I went up like this and just... But it's about what's going on in our lives. Why we got some crazy... Look at the person beside you and say, I think he's talking about you. Why things are going on, why we're hurting, why things aren't functioning just right. That's what he's wanting to talk to us about. All right? And that's going to get into more of the message. But I'm going to tell you something. I've seen great, great results through freedom prayer. And freedom prayer is so simple. It's just something about people sitting down with you, helping you to hear Jesus. That's it. There's no chicken feet, no basket of snakes, no... poison water you got to drink? No, it's just helping you hear Jesus, the voice of Jesus speaking to you. Glory, man, I'm telling you, it's just been glorious. So anyway, God's wanting to do that now. And He's wanting to do it because the first thing that He's done is in this relationship, this 3:16 principle is, God's just wanting you to make a commitment. God so loved the world, He gave Himself for you. He's wanting you to make a commitment. It's called salvation, but it's a commitment. It's not just a ticket to get to heaven. And if you really want to have fellowship with God, you need to be committed. You need to be a committed Christian this day and time. You need to be prepared that when there comes a penalty for being a Christian, you're ready to say, I don't care what it says, I'm serving Jesus with all of my heart. You need to be committed that no matter what's going to happen in life, you're staying on course with Jesus. Amen? The second thing is that you have to learn to listen. 1 Corinthians 3:16 says, that you are the temple of the Spirit of God, and the Holy Spirit lives on the inside of you. God wants to speak to you. He wants to talk to you. There needs to be communion. You are His temple here on earth. He's living and dwelling on the inside of you, so of course He wants to talk to you. Amen? You're not making a long-distance call. It's a local call. He's in you. All right? It ain't a long-distance call. Don't cost you anything. It's local. The third principle is Matthew 3:16. It was when Jesus was baptized and He came up and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighted upon Him. And suddenly a voice came and said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." Because Jesus wants to become your source. You go to the table and you fellowship with God because He is your source. He is your everything. Okay? You hear Him say those words, you're my beloved Son. I'm well pleased. You're doing great. Keep going. Don't stop. Fight the good fight. It's all right. I'm with you. It looks bad, but it'll be okay. That's what you hear at the table. That's what you hear at the table. That was the third one. Or was that the fourth one? That was the third one. The fourth one is 1 John 3:16. That we become whole so that we can help others. It says, "By this you know love, because He laid down His life for us, that we ought also to lay our lives down for our brethren." And so, we become whole so we can help others. That was the fourth principle, which I've shared. All these you can go and that was last week's. You can go back and listen to it on the iTunes, SoundCloud podcast, Waterhole broadcast, and hear it. So this takes us here. Okay, so go to the book of Daniel, chapter 3, verse 16. Daniel, Old Testament, 3:16. Daniel 3:16-18 says this, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, 'O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If that is the case, our God in whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and He will deliver us from your hand.' O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship any golden image which you have set up. Now, I preached on this at the start of this message, you know, weeks ago, but I want to use this as a point. The fellowship that God's looking to have with you is not surface, it's intimate. Have you ever been in a situation, let's say you're with a friend and you go into a business or you go into a, you know, wherever you're at, and the friend introduces you to somebody that they know, you know, and they say, oh yeah, hey, so-and-so, this is so-and-so. And they say, oh, hi, how are you? And then they just immediately, I mean, it was almost a brush off. It was just, how are you? And then they're back over to their attention to doing something else. And you know that the person didn't really care that they met you. Anybody ever had that happen? I don't like that. I'd just soon not know the person than somebody to brush me off, right? But it happens. And sometimes it, you know, we don't know why, but it does. But anyway, that's not what God's wanting to do with you. He's not wanting to come and say, oh, hi, how are you doing? That's not God's response to you. You go to sit down at the table and he says, oh, hey, how are you doing? I'm glad you're here. And then he's off over doing other business. The relationship and the fellowship that God is offering you, it's intimate. It's deep. It's real. It's alive. It's exciting. It's the type of fellowship that when you leave, you know you're enlarged. You know you're a better person. You know that inside of you, because you have been talking with your God and He loves you, that you are edified and built up and strengthened. It's intimate. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, what they basically told the king was, is, king, look, you can go throw us in the fiery furnace, it's okay. Our God's going to deliver us. Whether you throw us in the fiery furnace or whether you relent, God's going to deliver us. That's what they told him. That's what that means. It wasn't, oh, God's not going to save him from the fiery furnace. It was that, I don't care what you do, king, we're serving God. Folks, I have never seen a time in life that this needs to be more of the cry of the voice of the Christian person, the Christian believer. Because it's like today, everything is trying to get us as Christians to be quiet. Everything today is trying to get us as Christians that we have to become tolerant. We have to become, open to everything. And why are we so closed? And why are we, you know, listen, today is a day that you need to be like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You need to take Daniel 3:16 and say, no, I fellowship with my God. It's an intimate fellowship. This is who I am. This is what I know builds me. This is what I know is right. And there's nothing you're going to do to change my opinion. Amen. Are y'all with me? It's time for Christians to rise up and say, enough's enough. Look, you're not changing me. This is what it is. This is what the gospel says. You can't change the word of God. And you do that because you know what the truth is. Because you spent intimate time with God. Now, I want to give you two words here. One word is open, and the second word is vulnerable. In order to be intimate with God and fellowship with Him, you have to be open. Now look at open means. The word open, just out of the Webster's Dictionary, means having no enclosing or confining barrier, accessible on all sides. You're open. You with me? Vulnerable means capable of being physically or emotionally wounded. Open to attack or damage. Listen, a lot of people say, well, you know, if you're going to make your marriage, you know, if you want to make your marriage succeed, you know, you have to make yourself vulnerable. Well, wait a minute. That's not really a good word to be used. Because vulnerable means that you're going to be open to attack. Well, listen to me. I want to know my partner's not going to attack me. What we want to be with God is we don't have to be vulnerable because God's never going to hurt you. I get really mad when I hear people say, well, why did God let this happen? Or why did God do this? Or why did God do that? And I'll say, man, you don't even know God. Because the God I know, he doesn't do that kind of stuff. The God I know does not send tornadoes to wipe out people and kill them. The God I know does not send cancer. The God I know does not need to use sickness and disease upon people to hurt them or harm them. God's not into that. God's not into causing you to have a car wreck so you could serve him. That's not God. That's this fallen world we live in, where there is accidents and there is problems because the world's not like it was supposed to be. We're supposed to have been in a garden, but we're not. We're in a world, a fallen world. Hello? We got to remember that at all times. Not everything works right. People do have free will, and they can take their free will and do some stupid things. People never stop to think about how they want God to be a magician. Now hear me good. They want God to be a magician and do what they want him to do, but they never think of the consequences of if somebody else has the power to make God do what they want him to do. Can you imagine two neighbors, one wanting it to rain, the other one wanting it to be dry? Can you imagine what it would be like in life if you know, it goes back, and the closest I've ever seen it and the funniest I've ever seen it was that movie, I can't even think of what the name of it was, that was out where God gave him the ability to have all of his prayers answered, whatever he asked would happen. He started just getting on the email and launching them all off, and next thing you know, the moon came closer and tidal waves were everywhere, and everything he did had a bad recourse to it. People don't think about that we got free will in life. And you don't think God's smart enough to know what he's doing? And I don't have to worry when I go to the table and talk to God that I'm being vulnerable to him, because God, I would only be vulnerable if he was going to hurt me. I'm open. I want his suggestion. I want his love. I want his information. I want his fellowship. I'm open. But so many people get it wrong, and I want to tell you why. This may be the worst example I've ever used, or the best. I don't know. You may like it, or you may think this is the craziest thing you've ever heard in your life. But I have a theory. This is a Robert Richards theory, okay? This is Thus Saith Robert, preaching this morning about Jesus, using this example. I have a theory called, I call it the schoolyard theory, okay? That everything in your life happened in the schoolyard. That you either closed yourself off because you were bullied in a schoolyard on the playground, and so you didn't want to make yourself vulnerable to attack, so you held yourself back, which now has hindered you in life because you don't know how to respond to people, you don't know how to respond to love, you don't know how to respond to God because you're scared you're going to get hurt. That on the playground you learn how to be a click, be in a clique, how to form a clique, how to get around friends to keep you secure because you didn't, you know, if there's more of y'all. Hey, my playground days growing up were rough. All right? I was not the bully. I wasn't, no matter what anybody says. I never picked on anybody, but I never took anything from anybody. Okay? It was war. Every day in remembering growing up in school, especially my fifth and sixth grade years, were when the door was open and they said, go to recess, it really meant go to war. All you were trying to do was survive that hour on the playground to get back into classroom where you could get to your desk and possibly be safe. It was rough. Okay? It was rough. And the older ones were always picking on the younger ones, and some younger ones were defeated, but it was like every day I'd see people get slain, just, they're just gone, okay, they're gone. And then, you know, other people, you know, succeed, and anyway. I fared okay, you know, I made it, but it was rough. It was difficult. I took the kingdom by violence. That's all I want to say. Leave it at that. I saw the principal's office many times. But what I'm saying is that what happens to us in life is we develop these, you know, whatever you want to call it, syndromes, whatever you want to call it in your life, of where you guard yourself because you don't want to get hurt. And this happens in life, and I'm just saying it happens on the playground when you get started in life, and you don't want to be hurt, so you guard yourself, and you do not, the word you use is you do not want to make yourself vulnerable. Well, the only way you're going to be vulnerable if you think there's going to be an attack. How much better, though, to sit at the table with your God, who is not going to attack you, who does not want to hurt you, wants to bless you, wants to give you encouragement, wants to touch you, wants to help you in life, and you make yourself open to Him, accessible on all sides. See, as I'm preaching this, I know there's some people listening to me that say, well, listen, I'm a little scared to be open to God because I'm a little afraid that if I give Him all the ground in my life, He might ask me to do something I don't really want to do. So I'll use this example. I love my wife with all of my heart. Been married for 32 years. Love her, love her, love her. Thank God she loves me. But I love her with all of my heart. And I can tell you right now, because I have an open relationship with my wife, she has asked me to do things that I didn't want to do. But you know what? Because I love her, it was okay. Are you with me? Because I love her, it was okay. She asked me to do some things and to change some things, and I was willing because I love her. When God speaks to me and He says, Robert, listen, I need you to stop that. I love Him. And I'll show you why in just a second. But I love Him. And so I'm saying, okay, well, Lord, I know that You have my best interest. I know I can trust You that if I don't do that, it's going to be for my good. You're not doing this for my evil. I don't have to worry about You attacking me. You're doing this because You're trying to help me. Folks, that's a great relationship. I'm not really worried about what God would ask me to do, because I know whatever it is that He asked me to do, then it's going to be good. I may not like it. I may have to be stretched out of my comfort zone. I may have to do something that I'm not really comfortable with. But if God's saying, Robert, you need to go do this, then I'm going to go do it, or I'm going to change. Are y'all with me? I'm going to develop the way He would think I would need to be because it's for a purpose. A great example of this is when God spoke, began to speak to me. And let me just give you an example of fellowship with Him. I was sitting in my house, and I was on my bed, and I was reading my Bible. It was on a Saturday during the day. I knew I was going to preach Sunday morning, and I'm sitting there reading and just looking, and I was just happened to be reading Acts chapter 15 about how they were talking about trying to get an edict to force the churches to do circumcision because that's what they thought. And I was just looking at it and saying, look, Lord, that's so wrong. And then Paul got involved in it, and Paul said, this is wrong, and you shouldn't do this. And he challenged Peter, and they backed up and got everything right. And I was just looking at all of this and thinking about, well, that's cool. And then Acts 16, 1 says that then Paul found a disciple named Timothy, and he took Timothy, and he circumcised him. And I was like, what the? You just went back and argued the point of not doing this, so why did you do this? And the Lord just said, read on. And it says, because of the Jews. And I realized then that he started speaking to me that Paul was going to take Timothy with him into certain circles, that he was going to catch flack because he would have been an uncircumcised person, and to just get over that flack and to get over those people that he would have him circumcised to get him to that place. And I was like, oh, Lord, okay, I see. I guess sometimes, you know, I see this. And then the Lord just spoke to me, Robert, I need you to go get an education. Now, you got to understand something. I told you what my early years of school were like. And so when I got older, you know, I realized in life that quickly it's better to be on the top than the bottom. And so, you know, I got through school, but they asked me to leave. And so I left school. You know, I was out of school. Last thing I ever wanted to do is go back to school. And the Lord then now is speaking to me all these years later. I need you to go back and get an education. I'm like, what? I mean, just the panic, the sheer panic of thinking about going back into this arena again now as a mature man with a family and kids. And what, oh my God, what are you thinking about it? So I began to think about like a college and like, oh my God. And I just began to panic. And I was like, no way, Lord. I mean, oh Jesus, man, come on. And so, I mean, it got all over me and I was having fits knowing that I was going to have to submit and do it. But just, oh my gosh, you just can't imagine the worst fear of my life. I'd face, you know, 1,000 atheists, man. Before I do that. And the phone rings. And Laura comes walking in. She says, Robert, it's a person wanting to talk to you. It says he's from some Bible college. Don't talk about your education. And I'm like, get out. I thought she was like listening under the door or something. And was just giving me a hard time because she knew how I was just worming, you know, and squirming in the room. And she says, no, really it is. And I said, oh, get out. This is nobody. She didn't know any idea of what was going on. And finally, she said, take the phone. And I said, okay. And I said, hello. And he said, yes, this is Dr. Philip Bradshaw from Central Christian University, and I'm just calling today about your application for education. And I'm like, I said, man, get out of here. This is my honest words to him. I said, get out. He says, excuse me, is this Robert Richards, Utopia, Texas? And I said, yeah. Gave me the phone number. It was my phone number. I said, yeah. He said, well, I'm looking at your application right here. And I said, no way. I said, man, ain't no way. I didn't send any application. He said, well, I'm looking at it. And so I said, oh, Jesus, this isn't fun. This isn't fair. This is not right. You can't do this. How could this happen? And then I got mad. So I decided I'd take it out on this guy. And so I said to him, I said, well, listen to me. Right now, I want to tell you one of two things. Either you're just an absolute, total, and complete liar, or you're really telling the truth and you're really a servant of God. You're really being used by God right now because God right now is speaking to me. And we have just had a discussion about this, and this is what he's telling me I need to do. So if you're bold enough, I told him this honestly. I said, if you're bold enough, if you think you're tough enough, I will buy you a plane ticket and fly you to San Antonio. When you get off that plane, you come down that jetway, you better have that piece of paper in your hand. I said, because if you're just pulling something over me, trying to just like, you just, you know, did a cold call and you got me and you know, something like this, I will whip you in that jetway. I said, but if you're really a man of God, you're really, you know, if you're really called of God and you have a piece of paper that has my name on it, so he said, no, hold on, let me say, you're Robert Richards, right? He went on the whole thing? And I said, yeah. He said, okay, I'll be there. And I said, after I meet you and I talk to you for a little bit, if you're good, I'll let you preach in the church and I'll give you an offering. But if you're not, I just guarantee you, I will beat you. I didn't know how big this guy was, but I was just praying he was a little guy. And I said, I will beat you right there in the jetway because you're from the pit of hell. He said, well, I'm not. And I said, okay. So this guy took the challenge, and I bought him a ticket and flew to San Antonio. He walked down the jetway. As soon as he cleared the deal, walked into the deal, I looked and I said, oh, I can take this guy. He was dressed in a suit, slicked as opposite of me as you could get. And I was like, great, great, Jesus. Give me this guy, you know. Came up with the piece of paper. He handed me the piece of paper, and I looked at it. And what had happened was, the pastor who was here prior before me had sent in multiple applications, and they had had a place where you write references, the names of references, and he had actually reversed, because the application was a little complicated. He had actually put my name where the applicant was and his name where the reference was. And so there it was, and I was like, what do I do? Come on, let's go. So we became the best of friends. Actually, I helped with the college. We started a college here. We did all kinds of stuff. I went and got, you know, we had distance education and everything that we worked through this college for years and years, and became great friends with them. Point I'm trying to say is that all came from fellowship with God. It's intimate. It's deep. But he will ask you to do things that are not comfortable. It was not comfortable to me. He made it as comfortable as he possibly could. But I still had to go back to the books and had to do the study and had to write papers and had to do things like that. I still had to do it, but he left me in more of my comfort zone that I didn't have to leave and you know, physically move to back to the playground. But it only came because I was open. You see, if you're not open to God, he can't speak to you, he can't talk to you, he can't move things into your life that he wants to bring to you. If you're closed off, if you shut the doors, if you've not allowed God to come into your life and for you to be in his life by sitting at the table, what's happened is you're operating under the capacity of vulnerability. I won't become vulnerable. Well, listen, God's not going to attack you. You got to get out of your playground, your school ground mentality. You got to get into the God mentality. What you've done is you've built you a castle around your life. You've put big walls, big turrets, big gates, everything. But the problem is you're the only one in the castle and nobody can come visit you. People that love you, people that care about you, they can't get in because you're so good at building walls that you've built the walls all up around you. You got a wall of unforgiveness over here, a wall of pride over here, a wall of this over here, a wall of that over there. And you did it because you got busted on the playground. Well, you're not in a playground anymore. You're in the kingdom of God. Listen to me. You're not on a school playground anymore. You are in the kingdom of God. Everybody say I'm in the kingdom of God. And in the kingdom of God, he don't have bullies out in the playground. The kingdom of God, he's got blessings out on the playground. In the kingdom of God, he's got encouragement. He's got strength. He's got blessings for you out in the playground. The way he did this was 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. He did this by making you a new creation. He says, behold, I've made you a new creation. The old things have passed away and all things have become new. Listen to me. Never before had a creature like you walked on the face of the earth until Jesus' resurrection. You may look human, like every other human on the earth, but you're a new creature. The Bible says, you know this, I already gave the scripture to you, that you're the temple of God and the Spirit of God lives on the inside of you. Never before till the resurrection of Jesus had that been possible. God said, look, I'm just going to come sit down in you. You don't have to worry about being vulnerable. You can just be open because I'm going to be housed in you. I'm going to dwell in you. Listen, all of us in life get hurt. All of us in life will continue to get hurt till we get to heaven. But Jesus can heal more hurts than people can hurt you. Jesus can show you how to judo the moves that the devil has for you. Now, I don't know anything about judo. I'm not going to show you any moves. I got no judo moves. But the one thing I do know about judo is the art of taking the aggression that the other person is having, that is sending your way, and moving so that the power of their punch that they're throwing at you misses and then causes them to fall. Judo is not about you having the knockout punch. It's about you using the movement of the enemy to your victory. That's what Jesus teaches you at the table to do. When your mind's still operating in the school ground mentality and people are still trying to hurt you and you're trying not to be vulnerable, but when you're open to God, he's showing you how to just go and move off the enemy's attack. Because it's intimate. It's deep. Let me just give you some scriptures here. And you need to write these down so that you could reference them at another time. Because I'm pulled out the best of the best. Because you need to know what God thinks about you. You need to know that these scriptures were written personally for you. Here's the first one, Jeremiah 29:11. "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord." He's giving you his thoughts towards you. "I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace, not of evil. To give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me, and you will find me when you search for me with all your heart." Woo! What's his thoughts towards you? Thoughts of peace, not of evil. Thoughts of giving you a future and a hope. That's what God's thinking about you at all times. Listen to me. Don't put God on the same level as human beings. Don't do it. Don't think God has human thoughts like the school ground, the playground, the schoolyard. I want a fellowship with somebody who's got good thoughts towards me, who's got my future in mind. He wants to make sure he gives me hope. If you're turning your Bibles, turn over a few chapters. Jeremiah 31:3. Jeremiah 31:3. "The Lord has appeared of old to me, saying, 'Yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn you.'" Whatever human love you could try to relate God to, God loves you more than that. Whatever human love you've ever experienced, whatever human love you have for your spouse, your children, your family, whoever, whatever human love you can produce, God, His love is so much greater you can't even understand it for you. So why wouldn't I want to be open to Him? I'll tell you why people aren't open to Him. Because the devil has lied to them, said, "Don't make yourself vulnerable. You're going to get hurt." Because that's what happened on the playground. You know, and I'm not saying this in a bragging way. I'm just saying this is why I've had to deal with so many issues in my life. Because first grade, I go to school. I'm a little country boy, man. I mean, going to Sabinow was a big deal. I was raised out in the country, just me and my sister. That was it. And I remember going to the first grade. We're out there, got into the new side of the building, going over there. My friends, they're playing with little airplanes. And the bully comes up, takes one of the airplanes from the guy. He begins to cry, tries to get it back. He pushes him to the ground. I say, "Man, don't do that. Give him his airplane back. It's wrong." See, there was a godliness in me, a righteousness in me, knew right from wrong. He said, "Make me." So I did. Only problem with it was he was the principal's son. So we end up in the principal's office. He had a bloody nose and I didn't. That's how it started out with me in life. And then there's another incident and another incident and another incident and another incident. Till finally you grow up in life to where you become guarded because you know this could happen. So then you don't go to the playground to have fun. You go to the playground to observe, who am I going to have to beat today? Or who is going to attack me today? Or how is it going to come? Or watch out. And so you've got paranoia going to the playground because you know it's coming. But we can't live life like that with our relationship with God. Because God's only got good coming for you. He's only got good to send into your life. He's only got blessings to give you at the table. He loves you with an everlasting love. Psalms 139:17, next scripture. 139:17. How precious also are your thoughts towards me, O God. God has precious thoughts about you. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would be more than the number of the sand by the sea. When I awake, you're still with me. He's got more precious thoughts than the sand of the sea about you. Precious thoughts. See, you can't even come up with that many. You can't even come up with even a minute number of precious thoughts about yourself. I know I'm right. You can't even come up with ten precious thoughts about yourself. What makes you precious? So what happens to us country people, you know? We do it like this. You go, oh. Start kicking at the dirt. Because they're not the kind of people that usually like accolades. But you can't even write down 10 precious things about you. Do I speaketh the truth? Well, you know, you think this, go home. You see how uncomfortable you get. Write down 10 precious things about yourself. Why Robert Richards is precious. Somebody else could maybe write that about you, but you write them about yourself. You can't even come up with 10, and God's got more than the sands on this world that's out there. He's got more than sand of precious thoughts about you. And you don't want to sit at the table and fellowship with him? You don't think he has the answer for a reason why you're miserable? You don't think he has the answer for your business? You don't think he has the answer for your life? You don't think he has the answer for your marriage? You don't think he has the answer for whatever situation you may be going through? But he's got so many precious thoughts, more than you can come up with. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. Let's go to some New Testament scriptures. And I'm finishing up here, so just hang on. 1 John 3, 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him. Yeah, you're a new creation. You're loved by God. You're a child of God. You're born again into the family of God. And when the blood of Jesus touched your life, he washed you so clean, made you so perfect, made you so pure that God says, man, you are my child and I love having you around. John chapter 10, verse 10. Jesus' own words. John 10, 10. The thief does not come except to kill, to steal, and to destroy. But I have come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. Not just a little life, abundant life. Abundant life. Galatians chapter 4, verse 3 through 7. Even so, when we were children, we were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth his Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. That means daddy, daddy. That's an intimate, intimate way to speak to your Father that you love. Abba, Father. Therefore, you're no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Woo, man! Not only are you a son, but you're an heir. Folks, you've got to get out of the mentality that you don't want to be open to God and sit at the table that he has an answer for you. You have got to get out of the mentality that you're going to you can't be vulnerable to God because he's going to tell you to do something you don't want to do. You got to get into the mentality that God wants and desires intimate fellowship with you. You need to get to the place in life where you're open to say, Lord, whatever I need to do, I'll do. You want me to wash my enemy's feet? I'll wash them because it's going to make me a bigger person. You want me to bless that old sorry cuss down the road that I just soon beat? No. You want me to bless him? What do you want me to do, Lord? Because if that's going to make me a better person, I want to do it. And at the table of fellowship with God, and he speaks to you, you know it's going to bless you. It's going to strengthen you. It's going to encourage you. But you got to go to the table. You got to be open. You don't have to worry about being vulnerable. You just got to be open. Accessible on all sides. Accessible on all sides. Amen? Amen. Amen. Well, stand up if you would. Now listen to me. I'm talking to everybody out here. Those of you in the building and those of you listening today. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know where you are in life, but listen to me. Jesus loves you. He wants to have an intimate relationship with you. He wants to bless you. As I said at the very first of this message, the very first thing you have to do in life is to give your life to Christ, to give your life to Jesus, to make a commitment. If you've not made a commitment, if you're just kind of sitting out there kind of weighing the pros and cons of God, listen to me. God loves you and he cares about you. And you need to commit your life to Jesus. Really simple. All you got to do is say, Jesus, I want to commit my life to you. Woo! That's it. No difficulties. No jumping through round hoops. No going through the church and, you know, seeing how long we can hold you under the water or you know, you got to handle a basket of snakes or, you know, handle fire. No. Just, you got to call out upon the name of Jesus. He says, anybody that calls upon my name will be saved. Amen? Amen. Now, for those listening today about this, I want you to know something. If you've been scared of being open to God, well, I want to pray for you. I just simply want to pray for you. I want you to understand the love that God has for you. I'm not asking for a show of hands. I'm not asking you to do anything. I just want you to open up your heart and to receive what I'm going to pray over you. Can you do that for me? So I want to pray right now. Those of you that this message is speaking to your heart, those of you listening that you're hearing these words and you're wanting that relationship, grab hold of this prayer right now. Father, I just pray for everyone, Lord. I pray for everyone, Lord, that you right now would take this message and you would destroy all of those school ground hurts, the playground hurts, Lord, the things of life that have happened, that have come into our lives, that have hurt us, that have attacked us, and that we are shut off because we don't want to make ourselves vulnerable. And today, Lord, we would understand that we're new creatures. We have the ability and the capacity to hear your word, for that word to take root in our heart, and that word to set us free. We see how much you love us. We see how much you care about us. And right now, Lord, we open up our hearts to you and say, we trust you, God. We trust you, God. We trust you with our lives. We trust you with our futures. We trust you, Lord, with all of us, all of our lives. We thank you now that by the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord, you break off those past hurts. You destroy those bondages and chains around our necks that have hurt us. And I declare, Lord God, that we're free. We're free. We're free to be open to you. Now, Lord, I thank you for it. Everybody just say, Jesus, I thank you, I'm free. Come on, say it again. Say, Jesus, I thank you, I'm free. Now look at me for a second, church. Don't let the enemy steal it from you. Don't let what God's done in your life today, the enemy steal it. Amen? Stay open to God. Have that intimate fellowship with him. And watch how, man, your future becomes a great hope and a great joy and a great victory. Amen. Can I have my prayer team come down for today? If you need prayer for anything, our prayer team's up here. We'll pray with you. If you need to talk to anybody and you want to be a part of Freedom Prayer, we've got Lex up here. We've got Maggie in the back and Frank. You can talk to them. You can talk to different ones about that. But just, I'm telling you, church, these are good days. God wants to speak to you. Amen? So grab that person's hand next to you. Father, I just declare right now as we go from this building, we go out into the world, we're free. We're walking in victory. These people are going to hear from you. They're going to know your voice. They're going to have intimate fellowship with you. They're going to see you, Lord, moving in their lives. They're going to look at you. They're going to come to you. Lord, all over this world, people are going to just be grabbing hold and hearing your voice speaking to you. And so, Lord, I just declare right now in Jesus' name that you're blessed. And God, you love them, that you bless them, and you got precious, precious thoughts towards them. So, Lord, just be with us now as we go. And God bless you. Bring us back together again, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.